the Framecast. This is where we talk about our favorite show, The Nanny, and we are right in the middle of season 3. We are talking about episodes 13, 14, and 15, and they are some unusual episodes, I would say. And so I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and we have Larry's here.
Hello.
And Colleen is here.
Hi, everyone.
Yes. And so let's dive in and talk about it. We start with an offer she can't refuse. And I would say this is a pretty iconic episode. It's pretty well known. I think this one is played quite a bit on when they do reruns. You'll see this one quite a bit. But basically, it's about Fran starts to date a guy from the mob. Like a classic Italian, you know, there's a lot of Godfather jokes in this, that kind of a thing. And Mr. Sheffield is super jealous. And so that's our main sort of plot. Larry, what do you think about this one overall?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It was the middle episode for me. It wasn't my least favorite, but it wasn't my favorite of the three.
Very good. Colleen, what'd you think?
I agree with you on that. It was right in the middle for me. It wasn't that great, but yeah, it was better than one of the others.
Okay. I mean, I absolutely love the last episode we're going to talk about. So this one wasn't my favorite, but I still think it has some fun stuff.
Is it your least favorite or middle for you?
I don't know. The other one's so weird. I feel like I can't even rank it very well.
Spoiler alert. Rachel's going to be much nicer on the next episode, I think, than the other two of us.
I appreciate them taking it doing something different. But anyway, and so she meets, Fran meets the father of Gracie's friend, Frankie. And he is named Tony, and he immediately wants to send her beef because this is a mobster thing, evidently. And Francis, is this guy classy or what? And this guy, it's kind of funny because the guy who played Tony, his name's Burke Moses, and he is a Broadway vet who had played Gaston in Beauty and the Beast.
What?
Yeah. And so he, not in the movie, in the Broadway show. Mm-hmm. And so they make some jokes in the movie, in the episode, about having gone to see Beauty and the Beast. And that's kind of a thing. And so, yeah, what do you think of Fran dating the mobster guy, Tony, sending her steaks?
It was okay. I think the thing with this episode for me is that it was definitely a very broad stroke comedy episode. So it was very generic, very over the top in the comedic beats. And when it gets a little bit too broad in the strokes, that's when I get a bit lost. But the idea is obviously fun, and you're right. It's definitely a trope of like dating a mobster or, you know, something like that. The way that the guy spoke, though, was too much. It was too much. I was like, oh my gosh. But, you know.
It's poking fun, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Would you, Colleen, be excited about a guy sending you steaks?
No, because I don't eat meat.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Woo, I know. People here don't need it. We would not swoon.
But I still wouldn't be excited even if I did eat meat. That does not appeal to me. My father was a butcher. Maybe that's why. Like, we got free meat all the time growing up.
I'd be a fan. Somebody can send me, if you're listening, send me beef. Send me steak. I'm a fan. So the B plot to this is that Brighton reads Maggie's diary, which is pretty rude of him, and then he decides he's gonna make her his slave.
Well, that was the other thing, I think, because I didn't like the B plot either.
No.
Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't know, anytime it's like slave stuff, I will admit I don't know if you all remember, but the episode where Hillary is the slave on Prince of Bel-Air is really funny. And I think that one is just because they have like weird things that they have her do, like she's barking at the table because she's enslaved to both of them. But most of the time when we have these slave things, which is another pretty common trope among siblings, particularly in shows and sitcoms, I don't know, it's always a little bit cringy for me, and this one was cringy to me.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite, but I do kind of like when Fran puts him in his place about it. That was funny. And I do love Niles when he says, you know, they make estrogen in a patch now.
Oh, yeah. That
yeah.
was funny.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
There was a couple lines I liked in this.
And I loved seeing Mr. Sheffield jealous. That's my favorite.
I loved Cece coming out and being like, Niles told me to come and stand in front of Mr. Sheffield. Yeah. that was one of the moments I loved.
Yeah. So Cece tells Whoopi Goldberg that she can be replaced in a night with Whoopi Goldberg. And so... and she says, well, Sandy Duncan played Valerie Harper for years. That made me laugh. And I love the whole, like, when do you have a limo measuring contest?
Oh, yeah, that was like my favorite line of the film.
Yeah. So she goes out with Tony, and she does look, we'll talk about fashion, but she looks gorgeous. And he gives her a necklace. And then she calls Val and comes out, and there's been some kind of massacre going on in the Italian restaurant. And you see Tony there just hanging out, and it's all done very silly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's similar to like your mobster with, you know, Some Like It Hot, or, you know, these kind of things, Guys and Dolls. It's that kind of thing. And there's some Godfather references and jokes. And I mean, particularly, I thought it was funny. It's a little cringy, but when there's the the stuffed horse in her bed, she's like, Gracie, why do you put this? I thought that was funny.
The charity thing.
Yeah. Yeah. When she wakes up and finds the horse in her bed. That made me laugh. I also thought it was a little bit funny when she says, I blame myself for giving you the home perm for Val.
Oh, yeah, with like leaving the dye on for 4 hours.
Yeah. Whatever. She's like, I wanted to watch the Thorn Birds.
Which is so, I mean, that's so dated. Like, it's hilarious.
I know. Now would probably be Downton Abbey or something like that.
Right.
And I liked when Tony says, something going on between you and Pierce Brosnan here. Right. That was good. And so Tony ends up becoming Mandy Patinkin's understudy. And I think, is it Fran who says, don't chase men, find a way to make men chase you?
Mr. Sheffield tells that to Fran, and then she's like, okay, I'll give it a try. Your new understudy is a mobster.
Yes. So I'd like to thank the Instagram account, What Fran Wore, again, for helping a lot in helping us with this fashion part, but she starts out with this, it's sort of a snakeskin print, spaghetti strap dress with a black turtleneck underneath, black nylons, and it's by the designer Cache, as I found. And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know. The cut of the dress with the straps and the turtleneck didn't go great with me, but
it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. And then they didn't have this one on the Instagram, but it was a brown square print skirt suit with brown nylons.
The matching shirt, which is a different, like it was literally matchy-matchy from coat to shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine. It was kind of a weird, it was a little bit weird, but not too weird. Like we'll see in that third episode, there is a really weird one, but no, I'm like we always say, I generally like her skirt suit. So
yeah, I did. I like that one. I thought the brown tights were a little much, but I did like the suit itself.
Yeah. And so then we have the black cocktail Herve Leisure design. That's the designer dress that she wears to the date. And that's a pretty iconic Fran look, I think. And she looked gorgeous. Ah,
Fran, like my goodness. Now this is what you would expect when you think of like a reveal, like all the words they describe her. Cause I was like, wow. I mean, I loved it. I thought she looked great. That neckline was revealing, but not like too much. And then I loved her hair because she had it kind of, it was still big and like voluminous, but it was kind of brushed to the one side. I thought she looked great for her date.
Yeah. She did. And Herve Leisure, I found out, is famous for making the bandage dress, which is, you see the layers and layers and layers of fabric.
Oh.
And so you can kind of see a little bit of that in that dress, the way that it was just so close to her figure.
Yeah,
and,
they're so form-fitting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also famous, it's probably her most famous accessory, Fran, that heart Moschino purse that she has in this episode that she has on the day and things, which is very cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out on the What Fran Wore Instagram that about the robes that she's always wearing. And there actually is a designer. It's called the Canyon Group Falling Daisy's Robe. If you look it up, you can still purchase them.
Oh.
If you would guess, how much do you think that robe costs?
$500.
Oh.
Oh, you're more than I. What do you think?
I mean, I was, Colleen just threw me for a loop. I was going to say like $50. I don't know.
I know. It's $180.
Oh, okay, I was happy, but I was thinking in
I thought that was so.
Yeah, in the world of buying for television or movies, I feel like you don't really spare any expense. So that's why
$180. Woo! Yeah,
so that. You know, any listeners, if you want us to do a robe adorned episode, you know, now you know where to go.
Yeah. That's right. And so then she ends on it's a striped red, blue, purple kind of Southwest sort of look to it, I think, this jacket.
It kind of looked Native, like, inspired, like Native American inspired.
Yeah. And then a black turtleneck and a black skirt, and that is Todd Oldham, that jacket.
There you go. Cousin Tubby coming through.
We'll see you talk about him in a bit. So what, between 1 to 10, would you give this one, Larry?
I think I'm going to go 6.
Okay, and Colleen?
I guess 6 is reasonable.
I'm going to give it a 7. I thought it was funny. I enjoy it. So then we have the next one, episode 14, is Oi to the World. And this is the animated Christmas special. And this is going to be an interesting one to talk about because it's just so unique and different. And, you know, I really enjoy an animated TV special. I mean, I love Christmas movies and I love Christmas specials. And I did get our friend of the Hallmarkies podcast, Joanna Wilson, to she's written a whole book on TV Christmas movies called Tis the Season. She's been on the Hallmarkies podcast twice. And so I asked her how she felt about this special. And she said, I love that the sitcom goes animated, a wonderful tribute to TV viewers' love for classic Christmas animated TV specials. And I also adore the Chester Speaks. So we have, so that's Joanna's opinion.
Well, thank you, Joanna.
And this is very different. It almost feels like we should I kind of, in retrospect, I was like, should we have just separated this out and done it closer to Christmas or something?
I
don't know.
I've never seen this. So I thought I had at least at one point in time seen every single episode of The Nanny before. I can 100% tell you I have never seen this until we did this episode.
I did see it.
I mean, if I feel like I would have remembered this, you know, that's why I'm pretty confident. Like, they must not ever air this, even at Christmas time, because I've never even knew they had this.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe because you have music, and so maybe that makes it more tricky to air or what. They did get Pamela Hayden to come on to voice Chester, and she is famous for doing a bunch of voices for The Simpsons. She does Ralphie Wiggum and a bunch of other voices. I think, she does a bunch of other voices for The Simpsons. And I don't know. It's its own unique thing. So again, I feel like it's just so different than the rest of the episodes.
I don't know how many other sitcoms did an animated special like this for Christmas.
Yeah, I'd have to ask Joanna.
Like, do you know, Colleen? You're my go-to when it comes to like sitcom history, because I'm not sure.
I don't. I mean, I can only think of series that had their own animated like version. Like, you know, like I think the Jackson 5 had their own show. I mean, that's
There was like Fat Albert first part kind of spinoff from the Cosby Show.
Yeah, or like I want to say the Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family might have had something like this. Not a Christmas, that's the only things I can think of.
Well, what I notice is I don't think people realize, and possibly Disney either, is the art of making an animated show and making it flow and making it work is very different from a live action. And this was just structured kind of the same as their live action format. And for me, it just didn't flow. It felt really choppy and awkward all the time. Like there was a lot of dead space, which you're not used to on these sitcoms. And I don't think they adapted to the format and tried to make the format adapt to them. And it just didn't quite work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a novelty. It's kind of fun. I wouldn't say it was particularly successful. I think it was kind of fun to see since the introduction is animated, it was kind of fun to see that style brought out to, you know, a full 30 minutes and, you know, sort of pay tribute to Rankin Bass, their animated specials. That was kind of the idea, I think, behind it of, you know, your Rudolphs and your sort of animated Christmas specials. But there is some dead space. And I would say for the most part, the humor does not work.
No.
I think they should have just gone like pure whimsy, because there's something about the humor is just not the best.
I think that comes back to what we talk about so often, is that what makes Fran special is her face. Her physical comedy is so strong that even if the written joke maybe isn't the best or isn't amazing, she sells it in a way that makes it like, okay, you know, even if you're not busting out laughing, it's still enjoyable. So when you take away her physical comedy, it really kind of shows like, oh, okay, that, you know, this maybe highlighted how important her physical brand of comedy was for the show at large.
Yeah. So they have Elvis the Elf, which is Daniel Davis. It was kind of fun to hear him do some different voices, I thought. Mr. Sheffield is Kris Kringle. And Santa can't deliver the toys because Cece the Abominable might cancel Christmas. And so Fran has to confront Cece the Abominable. And then there's also, I did think maybe one of the jokes that was a little funny was Blintz's, the Jewish the Jewish reindeer. That kind of made me laugh. And he said, who else are they going to work on Christmas Eve? Chester ends up leading the sleigh. Chester eats all the cookies. And they're trying to teach Brighton a lesson to give to the homeless shelter and to not be so selfish. And she says at the end, of course it was a dream. You ate all the chocolate and your pants still fit. And there are two songs. They Call Me Elvis and Toys to the World that Daniel Davis and Fran Drescher sing. And he's now says, I wonder if Mr. Belvedere started this way. And yeah, so that's basically the short. It's a novelty.
Interesting concept, just not quite executed well enough to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, I would rather watch it than the Chatterbox, tell you that personally.
Yes.
Or some of those episodes.
Yeah, I'll pick a risk over like a blatant whatever that like yeah. pilot any day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was cheerful and just trying to be fun. So I would give it a 5.
Also, I'm sorry, Joanna. I hated Chester.
Oh, really? You hated Chester?
I liked Chester.
I hated him. I was like, oh my gosh, no, our little Chester. What are you doing to my little Chester?
So what would you give it then, Larry?
I'll go 2.5.
Woo!
Colleen?
I was going to say 5 because, yeah, I didn't totally hate it. I was like, huh? Like about halfway through, I'm still like, what's going on? Like, this is weird. But I didn't hate it. And I thought that some of the animation, like, not was great, but I thought they looked
cute. Was fun.
I thought Fran looked really cute in what they put her in. And yeah. I thought Maxwell was cute. I thought they captured him pretty well.
It was cheerful. I mean, I've seen a lot of Rankin Bass specials that are a lot worse than this.
Don't get them after us now, Rachel. They already came after you alone for your disdain. For lowering the Rotten Tomato scores.
Yeah, so if people don't know that story, so I did in 2015, I reviewed all the Rankin Bass films on my blog and I really didn't enjoy them. They're pretty much on this level or worse.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And and a lot of people have huge nostalgia for them, but especially watching one after another, they do not hold up well. And so I was writing about them, and then I get added to Rotten Tomatoes, and they added all of my reviews, because I have so many, over 1,300 reviews right now, currently on Rotten Tomatoes. And so they're adding, and my friend messages me, and I totally forgot, because it had been 4 years since I had written those reviews on Rankin Bass, and my friend's like, so what do you don't like Frosty the Snowman? Because I had been a rotten review for Frosty the Snowman. Here I'm like Mrs. Christmas.
I don't know. Like it's
pretty funny.
Honestly, I'm not a fan of Frosty the Snowman either.
No. Anyway, it was just, I mean, especially when you're reviewing as part of a group, like, and it was just really funny. probably would have just left that one off. But there it was on my Rotten Tomatoes for all the world to see. So that's what that joke's about. All right. Well, there we go. So now we get to fashion show. And I have to say, this is one of my all-time faves. I love this episode. I think it is so funny. And basically, so Fran goes to an event with the Sheffields, and she's photographed and declared as being bad fashion. And so to cheer her up, Mr. Sheffield has her design for his charity event, whatever. And I love this movie because of all of the personal dynamic. I mean, I love this episode because of all the personal dynamics, and I just think it's so funny. Like all parts of it. I think that Fran being upset because she's on the worst dress list is really funny. And I think her and her cousin Toddie are pretty funny. All the stuff with her doing the costumes is funny. Mm-hmm. And I love this one. I think it has so many. I seriously have probably 12 lines from Fran and Niles that made me laugh. So I don't know. Overall, Colleen, what do you think of this one?
This is my favorite of the three. I don't love it as much as you do, but I do think it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Mm-hmm. Larry, what do you think of it?
Yeah, it's easily my favorite of this batch of episodes. And I think it's certainly, I think maybe I don't love it quite as much as Rachel, but I do think it's a good one. There you go. I'm going to copy Colleen. Yeah. Exactly.
And so basically, I love at this beginning. So Brighton tells Mr. Sheffield how to talk to Fran. He's like, haven't you learned? She's been here for 2 years.
Like, right.
Does this make me look fat? No.
That was a quick change, though. Like, she got changed and back out to the floor fast.
I know. So, we'll talk more about fashion, but she starts out in a black dress and then to this leopard dress. She wants to change her purse. And he says, no, we've got to go. And so she brings the mismatched purse.
Like, tricks her to go out there.
Don't want to keep Alec and Kim waiting.
Wow, they dated. I don't know how many years they've been divorced.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that Mel Gibson joke in the animated special.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, when we just spoke of the celebrity, I was like, oh yeah, that happy that Mel Gibson picked her to melt the thing. I was like, oof, okay. I mean, he was all the rage at the time.
Yeah, and she's there, and they ask her, who designed what your dress and everything, and she says, Mangala. And my name is Mangala, designed by Ragu.
Yeah, I wrote down that Mangala line too, just because the way she threw it out there was just so funny.
It was.
And so I just love when Mr. Sheffield's like, see if you can solve this with money. And he's like putting the magazine in his pants. He's like, you think that's gonna stop me?
I did love CC taking the magazine and giving it to her.
Yeah,
right. Page 64.
Yeah. And I love Fran, who's everybody out. Not you.
She finally gets to use Mr. Sheffield's iconic line on him.
It's going to be slow and painful.
I did love the gag about like how it took her a second too, but everybody bracing themselves. Like she's all excited walking out of the room. And then you're like, oh, oop. And she obviously comes back after the realization. I thought it was a cute moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Mr. Sheffield wants to hear all about your hysterectomy. That made me laugh. And I just love their dynamic. It's so funny. And
Rachel, how did you feel about the whole foot massage?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was good. Yes. Playing footsie under the desk, and then but Niles coming in. It was so funny.
I really expected him to like run out and grab Miss Babcock, like
needing her to rub some lotion on.
Gosh.
Oh, I love it so much. And I love the that when he comes up to her and he's like, you know, you want to do it. Let's do it. Every time you look at me, you've got one thing on your mind. And and she's like, I'm not dying your gray streak today. That was a really good one.
I know, even her responses are like, I'd have to run to the drugstore. Oh, like, you know.
Yeah. So funny. And I love Niles. Cece says to me, I had a date. And she says, oh, so it was a big night of charity for all. Yeah. And I also love Niles says, and Sheffa says, get that piece of trash out of here. Niles, you heard the man, move it.
Yeah. I think I did love when Maggie brought the magazine to
yeah.
You made Fran really mad. Would you want to just come out and say it? Or he's like, oh, come on, Maggie, I've always told you to face your problems. And then he like, Mr. Sheffield's reaction when he sees the magazine, I thought was really cute. Like, they're like, really cute.
Yeah, it's so good. And Brighton says, nobody, just me, nobody was looking at your purse, which is true. And Mr. Sheffield kisses Cece. That was pretty funny.
Oh, she's like coming up with random stuff. Oh, we still have to sign your set designer. Cece, she gets a little, after getting kissed, especially, she gets a little backbone. She stands up to Mr. Sheffield mm-hmm. and is like, if you do this, I'm not going to be a part of it. And follows through. She's not, she yeah. doesn't work with him on the charity benefit, obviously, until it
benefits Yeah, and her. Then she takes the credit. Yeah. Says you're attracted to this woman for God knows what reason, and it's clouding your professional judgment, which is just like, again, it's such a big episode for the characters, and you have Niles basically saying, so what are those feelings, what is it, you know, and he gets so close, he's like, wait, darn it, woman.
Yeah, that's like one of the iconic moments for me that I remember is him like getting so close and Mr. Sheffield going to confess and Ms. Niles just getting so frustrated.
Yeah, it's so good. I also love Niles and he says, you should hear what the man behind me said. And then Niles says, are you Dolph Lundgren? Cece. Yeah. It was so funny. And so yeah, she hires Fran to do the costumes for this benefit, and you get the under the desk playing footsie thing, and Mr. Sheffield tells Margaret that a flashy set just hides a flawed show, which is pretty good. I also love that Maxwell gives Fran a kiss on the cheek, which is so romantic, I think. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm a big fan of the cheek kiss. And he, at one point, he's trying to light the fire alarm.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, stop it. And we find out that her cousin Toddie is Todd Oldham, who we've talked a bunch about on the fashion. And she says, how do you think a nanny could dress like I do? And so we see Todd Oldham, and she ends up as a fashion do, and Cece is a fashion don't. So it's pretty fun, a way to end the show. And of course, a lot of fashion in this one. She starts out with a black dress with a sweetheart neckline. I don't know the designer on that one. But then she switches it out for a leopard, a print dress with a halter top, shiny. And this is from Cachet. And which one would you like better? Did you like the first look or the second look?
I think the first one would have been better with that red purse. So
that's true.
I didn't love the second dress because I hate the halter and I didn't like the material. It was too shiny.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I do think it's good that they went with that really bold red purse, though, because you do see it. Like, it's right, so bold that it does catch your eye, this red purse. But, yeah.
I think I like the second dress better just because it's more memorable. I think the first dress is kind of...
Tell you what's memorable is the next thing she wore.
The skirt suit with the faces on it.
Yes, it was so weird.
It was so weird. I was trying to look and see who the faces were.
Is that our guy, our favorite, Rachel?
No, this is a different one. It's by somebody named Vivian Tam. Her name? Oh,
Vivian.
Yeah.
It was so weird. I did a double take and I was like, yep, those are weird drawn, like, animated faces.
Talk real quick about Maggie's fashion, because I cannot stand that ice skating outfit she was wearing in the beginning. It looked like an ice skating skirt. All she needed was skates on and changed the top out and make the top a leotard. It was so ugly. It was like a powder blue color. You probably didn't pay attention like me. I just saw
That's a good way to describe it.
Bad.
A lot of Maggie's fashion is not great. But yeah, this was bad. Who I did like, though, is I did actually really like Cece's pretty basic black, you know, suit, but with that bold diamond necklace, I thought looked gorgeous. I was like, oh, wow, I like this a lot. I tend to like mixing the masculine with like a feminine type of thing. And that's what that gave me, I think, but I liked it.
Yeah. That was good. So then she's in a yellow sweatsuit, and this is from Roots Sporting Grids. That's the sweat.
They really did the research.
I know.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah.
Roots.
I
want to say that was a Canadian brand that was out for a while. I don't know. But anyway.
I love Fran when she's kind of bummed out, and she's like, I know. I think that's so funny. And you're like, I miss Babcock. And then she's in a kind of colorful plaid suit with velvet accents. And this was Emmanuel Ugaro is the name.
I like this suit, but the bow was hideous. She had a big black bow on the top. It was awful, but I like the suit.
Yeah.
She looks good in bright colors, so... I liked it. And then her last look is a pink spaghetti strap dress with flower print and a tulle wrap. And that is Todd Oldham.
Like, could you imagine if the with him was not in his fashion?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he wasn't in the whole episode. He didn't design the whole episode.
He had very few lines too. Forget just how little he speaks even.
Well, I think it's because they wanted it to be the big reveal.
Well, no, even at the end, he says like a couple lines and then he's kind of just like standing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting interviewed and stuff like that. And
he looks so tiny next to Miss Babcock.
Mm-hmm. He does. Mm-hmm.
How would you feel, Rachel, if some random woman in a bright pink dress grabbed your purse and threw it at somebody else?
I'd probably be pretty bewildered. I'm like, give me back my purse.
I know.
Give my money.
What? I know.
It's $125 snacks in the middle.
So again, I love this. I think this one is really funny, and I love just sort of the character growth too that you get in this one. So I'm gonna give this one a 9. I really like it. So what about you, Colleen?
I would say 8. I'm debating 8 or 8.5. I'm going to go 8. I enjoy it.
That's a good score. That's a good score. What about you, Larry? Where would you put it?
Oh, well, we're on the same page on this whole episode. I copied you at the beginning, and I'm going to copy you here at the end. I'm going 8 as well.
Very good. All right. Well, let us know what you think of these three. Do you have a special affection for the Christmas special?
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I was looking on IMDb. It had quite a few fans. So if you're a fan, let us know what you think It's definitely unique. And what do you think of these other two episodes? We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments section or on Twitter at FrankCast14. And Larry, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, as well as YouTube, all at LC Screen Talk.
Great. And Colleen?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Lily44094. And our Frankcast Instagram is Frankcast1993.
Great. And you can make sure you're all following the Hallmarkies podcast. We have a lot of fun stuff that's going to be happening over there. We're getting ready. Speaking of Christmas, we're getting ready to do our previews and other stuff coming up soon. So make sure that you're following over at Hallmarkies podcast as well. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. If you want to read any more of my my Rankin Bass reviews, check it out on Rotten Tomatoes. And thanks so much, everybody. And we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.